one of the most dangerous chapters in all of the Bible, which we know because, like guns, we regulate this chapter as much as we can to keep it out of the public. Exodus 20. Because in this we find the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 1. And remember there at the base of the mountain, and Moses went up, the mountain was, you know, quaking and thunder and all the clouds, and an awesome sight. People were afraid. There was a, you know, fence put up around the base of the mountain to keep even accidental approach to it. The mountain was holy because God had descended upon it. Verse 1, then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Let's pray. Lord, it is a shame that your word is rejected openly in our society. There are reasons given that sound like it would be understandable or justifiable, but it's just plain rebellion against you. And we know that. And I think many people are fooling themselves into thinking it's something else. So, Lord, we need you. We need you to have mercy upon us if we're to have a better land and a more holy and righteous living and society. And that our children not be tainted and corrupted as they are so easily in this age. Help us to properly respect your law. As the psalmist says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At one time, I'm glad this happened. Someone sat down to create and invent, is the word, I guess, a personal computer. You know, before personal computers, computers were in rooms, because instead of transistors, there were vacuum tubes. And a vacuum tube is like this, and a transistor is like that, and integrated circuits, which put it all down into a very small area. And so now we know them as personal computers, laptops. Now it's tablets. Phones are a computer. So someone did that. And when they did that, as in anything, there was a design and a purpose. And the design of a computer is basically, in general, two parts: the machine and the software. So you have to build it, and the machine, the integrated circuits, all that. And you have to program it, the operating system. So whoever began to do that had in mind that when they were done, it would do things. It would add and subtract. It would display things on a monitor. It would print. You could do word processing. You could do financial things. And so that was the plan. And until it was complete, the inventor was not satisfied. You can't just make it, put it together, piece it together, and it does nothing. That's junk. But if it does what is intended to do, it's finished. And with anything else we would build, if you build a house, you have in mind a certain plan, you build it, when it's done, you see it's what you intended, and now you're satisfied with it. Well, in a similar fashion, the Lord made us. And as a computer had a purpose and had to be a certain way in order to be according to the design and function of the maker, so we have to be that way. The Lord made us, since God is holy, He made us to be holy. If God makes us and we're not holy, He is not satisfied with that. Of course, we know from the from Genesis that when we were made, we were good. Everything was good. There was innocence. Sin came in after. But God made us good. And everything was the way God intended. But we fell. And God, to redeem men again, had to return to His previous purpose to make a holy people. Not everyone now, not everyone is going to be holy. There will be those who are left to themselves who have chosen the way of sin and rebellion, and they will never be redeemed. But those who are redeemed are His holy people, a people of His own choosing. He's redeeming and drawing to Himself those whom He designs to be holy. We are made holy by the blood of Christ. Christ's righteousness is conveyed to us by faith, so that we get back to that purpose where God made us to be holy. And one day, of course, we will be brought as His children to heaven, and we're holy forever. And so that is the purpose of God. In the meantime, what God does is show us His holy standard. He doesn't just say what the world wishes He said, and which they often imagine He said, just go and do whatever you want to do. I made you, you're precious in My sight. You know, it's a country song, a country and western song. No matter what you do, the worse you are, God's just going to overlook all that. God intends for us to be holy, and in order for us to be holy, He shows us what holiness is as far as the actions of men go. On the mountain, He showed the splendor of His majesty. You could see then that God was holy. And these laws, which people wish we didn't have, are given so that we understand the standard. Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone delivered to Moses, written by the hand of God, and delivered to Israel. The moral law of God. Now the rest of it we come into in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and in Deuteronomy, the ceremonial law, which has passed with Christ's death. But the moral law is still with us. In all the moral laws of the old covenant, God doesn't change His moral law. So here we are still with that. So that's what this is. Now our country has decided that it would be best for all concerned not to have this in too many public places. Because the Ten Commandments, I mean, really, you can have a dirty movie at any theater in the world, in the country. A movie that's pushed the boundaries, TV, streaming. There are more ways to get smut now than there ever has been in the world. But the Ten Commandments, can't have that. Can't have it in the public buildings. Can't have it in government buildings. Can't have it in the schools. It would scare us to know what all the kids can be taught in school, totally with the support of the educational system, but the Ten Commandments, nope. Now, it may still be around here. It may still be in other places, but it's on the way out unless there's a revival. Because it's religious document, which means we're ashamed of Christ, basically. If you would reword that, it would mean we're ashamed of Jesus, we're ashamed of God, we're ashamed of morality, we're ashamed of the nature of God. Because Christianity has been the standard religion at the beginning of this country. Our founding fathers were Christian. Not that they were Christians, but their mindset and their approach was a Christian approach, Judeo-Christian. And so the laws and the foundation of much of our original documents for the country were because of Christianity. And now what people want to do today, since Christianity has been at the foundation of the country, they want to have it be less and less a factor in the society because others have had an unfair run on this. We need to talk more about Islam because that's not been talked about in this country. We need to talk about more about the New Age stuff. A lot of other things have to get, you know, this is the way the world tries to balance things these days. We've had too much Christianity. Let's go the other way a while. And maybe in 150 years, 200 years, it'll all balance out. So in order to show our shame for declaring ourselves to believe in Christian principles, one thing that we don't want in society is the Ten Commandments. And so they have been pushed out. A good friend of mine from EIFC, Mike Griffin, worked on Ten Commandments, Georgia. That was a movement in Georgia to get the Ten Commandments back into public buildings. And Mike Griffin said, you know, a good place to start will be to get the Ten Commandments back into the churches. Because they've also pushed them kind of out of there. But in the public place, they don't want them. It's a public building. The people, the public, they may not be Christians. They may not be believers of the Old Testament. They don't need to see that. Well, that's exactly who needs to see it. The people that don't know need to see it. And so the law tells us what is naturally opposed to us. Paul tells us that in Romans 7. That he was righteous, and then he looked at the law and found out he was sinful. Oh, no. And then he had to fix that, and the only way is through Christ. Well, the Ten Commandments, then, is given here. And the Lord said, verse 1, spoke all these words, saying, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Notice what the Lord does there. He makes a statement that is in itself a proof that there are no other gods. That the Lord has just brought them out of the house of slavery. He has shown them his power. He has parted the Red Sea for them. What other God is there like that? There is no other God. So the Lord is saying there's no other God. And so you shall have no other God before me. Because none are before him. It's not a matter of, well, you know, you can eat at this restaurant or you can eat at that restaurant. It's just up to you. They're all restaurants. There are gods, but they're not at all equal. The true God is the true God. All the gods of the nations are idols, the Bible tells us. So he's saying, don't go after any other God because there's no other God you can go after. He's not trying to corner the market here and get more worshipers than other gods. He's saying there's no other gods. You have no other gods before me. Don't make a god because there's not another god, a true god. Now, there are plenty of false gods. We'll have at least, you know, millions, maybe billions of gods possible. Most, you know, kind of congregate around certain deity, Islam and Judaism and Christianity are all monotheistic, as they believe in one God. There are many polytheistic religions. Hinduism is polytheistic. Many millions of gods, and other places where you have just whatever number of gods that you want to have, basically, and millions would be like in India. So when the Lord directs us here, he's directing us to not waste our devotion on vanity. If you lose something, where do you want to look for it? Where do you want to look for it? You want to look for it. What do we always say? Well, where did you see it last? Where were you using it last? Let's start where it was. If you just start anywhere, it's vain. You're going to spend your time and waste your time looking where it never was. So people with false gods are looking where God never existed. They're wasting their lives. If people believe this verse, they would not get sidetracked into all these other false religions. They would worship the Lord. You wouldn't have all these cults and all these other religions with other gods. You wouldn't have Islam and all the billions of people who follow that. So God is protecting us and saying, you know, the only place to look for God, which most people naturally believe in, is to look where he lives. And the only true God is the Lord. Look at that one true God. You can go after all kinds of other deities. So the number one thing, and Jesus summed up the first table of the law, is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the Lord. The first four commandments here, it's all about God. And the Lord is the focus. And to get off of that would be a catastrophe. When we go home tonight, we'll go home. We'll leave here, and some of you will turn that way. I guess all of you. And I'll turn that way. And we'll go that way because that's where we live. If you just come to the first house, I mean, what if I'm going home? I pass that nice big white house on the corner there just before I get to my road. And the gate sometime there, you got a power gate on that house. Sometimes it's open. I could whip out right in that place, pull up there, go in. They've got a theater in that place. I'm in a mini movie theater there. And I was in there. Sequel was babysitting the people that lived there before these now. Pretty nice. Let's go there. Pull in there. What does it matter? Just as long as you go to a house, right? Doesn't matter what house you go to. Well, people say that about religion. Doesn't matter what religion you have, just as long as you have a religion. Doesn't matter what God you have, just as long as you have a God. Well, God is first thing. Not putting up with other gods. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. There's couple of aspects about that second commandment. And in the Catholics see this as one commandment. The first commandment is two commandments to them. And the tenth commandment is one to us and two to them. The first two are two to us and one to the Catholics. The tenth one is one to us and two to the Catholics. Because the Catholics use icons to worship. They have images of God. They want representations of the Lord. This has always been a part of the worship of Roman Catholicism. It's a pagan concept. It's in their minds better to hold on to a God or to God or a representation of God. What is forbidden here is to make an image of God. Any representation you make of God is going to be an idol. Some people make an idol and worship in their minds the true God with it. They'll make a representation of Yahweh, Jehovah God. And they will use that as an aid to worship. And that's what the Roman Catholics would say they do for themselves. Others will have gods of idolatry, completely a different God, as we see in other religions. What is forbidden there is to make any likeness of God from what you see around us. And the only way that you can make a likeness or an idol is to make it like something in the world. You can't make it like God. God is invisible and almighty and powerful, and he dwells in inapproachable light. You can't make an idol that represents God. I mean, that looks like him, that has his splendor and majesty and all that. So any idol you make in this world has to be a false idol. It does not pertain to the true God. You can make it like it does, or you can make it like birds and, beasts of all kinds, which you often see in other religions. People look around them and they see a thing that reminds them. Remember, Egypt did that. They see something that reminds them of God. They make an idol out of that, and this is, they say, is God. The children of Israel will do it later when they make a calf and say, these are your gods who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And it just is natural. It's a pagan thing. Now, people justify it who say it. They're not worshiping another God. They're worshiping the God of the Bible, but, this helps them. God is like that. And now I can get in touch with that. Because seeing it is a vehicle by which I can make better contact with God. And therefore, it's okay. Suppose a man in his office or in his man room, man den or whatever. Suppose he puts up pictures of supermodels. He's married. And all these pictures around the man room is a bunch of supermodels. So the wife comes down. What is all this? He says, don't misunderstand. And you got all these supermodels going around. And in various stages of undress. And don't misunderstand. These help me to love you more. When I look at that model there, it helps me to love you more, to have more of an appreciation of your beauty, and to, honor you. And what's the wife going to say? Oh, that is so precious. Is so sweet. You turn your head, buddy, those things are down. And she'll get rid of them quickly. Because that's a cop-out. Now, to make it like this, since we can't make an image, any image we make would be very beneath the beauty of the Lord. What really would have to be up there on that wall is not supermodel. The ugliest possible creature on the face of the earth. I mean a frog. And so your wife comes, what are these frogs and that rat over there? And what is that? What are these up? Oh, just to help me love you more. They're representations of you. And then she's really upset more than the other problem. Because that would be the parallel. If we make an image of God, it's going to be so beneath the Lord. It's offensive. And that's what the Lord says here. The likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath. You're not to have them. And what people do is they say, well, it helps me, so I'm going to do it. They just completely ignore, don't make idols. Because that's the way we do. If it helps us, we go, oh, that's justifiable. It's not justifiable. The Lord is to be listened to, and there's not, you can't make an idol. Even the pictures of Jesus, I would say, qualify for this to some degree. And I realize that there are pictures of Jesus and paintings and such as that, that are is art. And I mean, there's a fine line here. I guess it could take a hard line. But all the pictures I see of Jesus, the paintings and such, put him in the best light. He's got a halo. He looks serene and prayerful. The Bible says when we beheld his appearance, there was nothing in him that made us desire him. So if you really want to do a picture that what the Bible describes Jesus as, you'd have to make one that was ugly. And there's not any of those, really. Some on the cross where he's suffering. But you know, if you hung a picture up of Jesus at your house and you saw that and you saw Jesus and you made that connection between faith and sight with a picture of Jesus, that would be approaching the same thing. I've had that picture of Jesus that most of us would recognize. I had that in my younger years, and once I understood this, I don't know where it is and I don't know what happened to it. But the Lord does not want us merging sight and faith. We walk by faith. We don't see God. And whenever we saw God, we saw Jesus who became like us. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was glorious, and in Revelation 1, he's glorious. And John says, we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, even in his body. But it's always toned down. And we have no image of the Father. God is spirit. And as I say, Jesus becomes like us. And even on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus had a body. He became a body here on earth, and now he's got a glorified body. We saw some of that, but he is beyond us and the ability to depict him. And you don't want to misunderstand and begin to make an attachment, because we make attachments to physical things and we begin to equate the physical with the spiritual. God then becomes like that image. The image cannot become like God. We break it down, and now the image is like God. So you got to really make a pretty image, but it still would not be pretty enough. You got to make a majestic image, but how can you do that? Because you cannot reproduce the glory of the Lord. And if you don't reproduce the glory of the Lord, well, then you've got an idol. You've got something that's unworthy of the Lord. Sometimes we get hungry for candy. People at home, I wish I had some candy. Where's the candy? Don't have candy. I mean, we got the internet. We can download a picture of candy. We can put it up on the refrigerator. And is it the same? Can you look at it and go, if I look at it long enough, I think I can taste it. It will never. It's a side thing. If you want the candy, you got to get the candy. If you want God, you got to have God. And the only way you can have God in your worship is to have him by faith, not by sight. So the Lord says you should not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And it works both ways. If you make an image that is not like him, you're showing your love to something that he is not like. And therefore your devotion is to something that is not the Lord, but is a replica of the Lord. And the Lord is to be feared, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. Now notice that's from his jealousy. There's a jealousy that is sinful. Most jealousy is sinful that is practiced. A person is jealous because someone has something that you want. It's similar to covetousness. You are jealous because you want that. You don't want them to have it. But if you're married and you have a partner, your spouse, well, you want that partner all to yourself. That is a proper jealousy. Now, if you were one to be jealous in a way that was mistrusting of that person, questioning them all the time, not believing them, not listening to them when they tell you what they're doing, and if you're wondering and always suspicious, Elvis said it himself, we cannot go on together with suspicious minds. You can't doubt and have jealousy of that kind, but if some traveling salesman pulls up in the yard and comes up and says, I just am here selling vacuum cleaners, but I see your woman is a pretty woman. I'd like to take her out for lunch. Is it okay with you? I'm saying, sure. Let me go back and get my shotgun. I mean, there's a jealousy that is expected. For your children, somebody comes around, and tries to woo your children away from your home and to get them into something they should not be in, get them addicted to drugs. Your jealousy kicks in, and no, you cannot do that. God is a jealous God. Because of that, when he is not worshipped, he punishes up to the third and fourth generations of those who hate him. And because he's a jealous God and cherishes the love of his people, verse 6 says he shows loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So his jealousy, if you violate his love and you're not faithful to him, he hits you up for four generations. Now, that doesn't mean the children get punished for the parents' sin, but it recognizes there that when the parents sin, that sin often extends generations beyond. The great-granddad departs from the Lord, the granddad tends to, the dad tends to, and then the children tends to, and then their children tends to. Because they don't have a good example of holiness and righteousness and Christian witness in the home. And they're all guilty, is what it's saying. It's not saying that the first generation's guilty and the rest of them just pay the price. But if you are pleasing to the Lord and you stay true to him and you are faithful to him, then the same way goes in the positive direction, loving kindness to thousands, those who fear me and keep my commandments. We'll stop there. But you see, this is the first two of the commandments. And as I say, the reason that the Roman Catholics have only one commandment by this point is because they have icons and aids, quote unquote, for worship. And have always been a religion that values relics and idols, things to aid in worship or to revere, such as pieces of the cross and such superstitious things as that. Any thoughts or comments or questions you have?